Hey, I'm Gillian.
I'm Mary.
I'm Vanessa.
I'm Rebecca, and we're Fufu and Tibbs.
And we're here today at the Royal National Park for a hike with Arcturix.
Come join us.
So today on our hike, we're here with community ambassador of Arcturix, Marlon.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So just to start off, how did your involvement with Arcturix begin and like your whole mission as a community ambassador with them start?
Well, started off really just as a personal passion of mine and a bunch of friends. Arcturix have recently come to New South Wales with their store opening in Bondi Junction. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, they've put together a really cool program within the community with like a local area marketing manager. To reach out to people that have a passion in outdoor pursuits and other areas to try and give them a platform to tell their story and also help them to kind of continue their passion and get more outdoors, I guess.
And where did your involvement with that come in? Like what prompted you to be involved?
It really came through a connection of a friend. I'm involved with a run crew in Sydney called King's Cross Track Club. Mm-hmm. We branched out from the running crew in the city to running on trail. But my real passion is hiking. So the trail hiking and trail running was just like a step removed from inner city running.
And have you always been an outdoorsy person?
Yeah, I guess so. Just starting off as like a young, boisterous kid, as my energy grew, I needed to find more and more things to kind of dispel all of that extra energy. So, yeah, from riding my bike as a little boy to hiking and cycling, and yeah, so it's kind of just a natural progression.
Awesome. And obviously, your accent gives you away that you're from somewhere else.
So. Yep.
Where were you originally from?
So I'm born in the UK in a wonderful, beautiful place called Birmingham. Yeah, and then I moved out here about 10 years ago. And my passion for the outdoors really amplified like when I got here because in the UK going hiking, it's kind of cold and grey and wet.
Yeah.
But here you can, an hour away from my home in Sydney, be in the Royal National Park. So yeah.
Awesome.
You said your running club, you said in the Cross?
Yeah, King's Cross.
How diverse is your running club, to put it bluntly?
Good question.
Look, it's a community run club, so it reflects the community that it's in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, King's Cross.
Yeah, so it's a super open and welcoming run club. Very, very open and very, very welcoming. I've travelled all around the world and ran with many different crews and never met a crew as open as and accepting as this one. But yeah, I kind of hear the point of your question, but the answer is it's just reflects the community.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you're based in somewhere like King's Cross, which doesn't reflect Sydney's diversity overall.
Yeah.
Because it's King's Cross, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, out west, we actually probably even more
have access,
more proximity to places like this, like with the Western Sydney Parklands. The mountains are like half an hour away, and yet
half an hour from you.
Oh yeah, so half an hour from moi. But even so, like it's definitely a more proximity than you guys have. I guess you guys have coastal proximity, but in terms of bushland, we have great proximity, and communities like ours aren't really as deeply entrenched in hobbies like this. And I'm guessing it'd be the same in the UK, I can only presume.
Well, look, there's some really cool stuff happening in the UK and all around the world at the moment. As you say, the UK, I think of a hiking crew there called We Go Outside Too. One of the leaders of that has the same name as me, Marlon, so shout out to you. Yeah, they're a massive inspiration of mine. Over in Paris, there's the Jar Jar Hiking Club. Mm. So there's definitely communities around the world, outdoor communities around the world with black people and people of colour kind of headlining and pushing forward and doing some really good works within the community. And bringing it back home here now to Sydney, you're right. The accessibility of outdoors and trails and beautiful places and spaces to go is second to none. So yeah, I really encourage everybody to get out there and hike and walk and experience this.
So being an ambassador, what do you hope to see? Like, even from this, what do you hope to see as a result of this kind of engagement?
Just like representation, me, myself, and taking you guys out onto trail, showing you how easy it is, showing you that you don't need anything but the bare essentials, some water, some snacks. There's amazing websites, New South Wales websites that you can jump on and find trails and safe routes and yeah, just get outside really. Yeah.
And from your experience, what has been like one of the key benefits of hiking, being outdoors? How does it impact your life, make you feel?
Physical health, mental health, connection with friends. Like, you guys would have experienced just walking to the spot that we stood on now from the car, just talking to your friends on a Sunday, having a laugh, even traveling here together, you know? So that connection with friends, the time, the uninterrupted time you get.
Yeah, there's no reception.
There's no mobile phone reception. So yeah, you can really be super present in what you're doing, which in this day and age, I feel is even more important.
Yeah.
But sure. Yeah, just the physical health, the mental health elements of just being outdoors and being alone with your thoughts, and connecting with my best friends that I hike with all the time.
Awesome. So, yeah. So for anyone that hasn't been on a hike, what's the starting point?
The starting point is always to just make sure that you know where you're going. Jump online. We'll put a link up. I've always wanted to say this, link down below. So yeah, we'll put a link up and yeah, just make sure you know where you're going. Tell somebody where you're going. Pack essentials, water, layers. We'll also put a link on the video to kind of bare essentials in terms of clothing that you should take.
Because I didn't know like hiking gear.
Yeah,
it's like a proper thing.
You're just walking. Put some joggers, leggings.
That just shows how basic we are. We're not thinking deeply about it. We're just like, oh, we're going for a walk.
There's safety to it as well, right?
Yeah. There's an element of a big element of safety, and also comfort. If you're not comfortable, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you're definitely going to sweat, and if you sweat and then your clothes are getting wet and then the temperature changes and then you get cold.
Yeah.
So having the right type of gear on can help you to enjoy what you're doing. You don't have to spend heaps of money, and there's cheap or more cost effective ways of doing things.
Why do you, I think this is for all of us, this is not just Marlon, but why do you think we're lacking being outside? What is it in our culture that we're just always inside?
I don't know that they're not. I don't know that they're not. It's, my thing is just to speak to you guys and the community and let everybody know that it's super easy to get outside and how to do that safely and we live in such a beautiful place. I just want more people to experience it.
So you don't think there's a stereotype that black people, we don't like camping. We don't like water. And we don't like things where there are animals and there's a stereotype. Whether that's true or not is a different answer.
There is a stereotype. I would put myself up and say that there's an example of that not being true.
and you've mentioned countries where the community has been formed.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the whole purpose of that, to break that stereotype.
Yeah.
And let people know, like, we're outside too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. And as I become more involved within kind of like the outdoor world and working with brands such as Arc'teryx, I know that representation, visual representation, is very important. I have two young sons, and for them to be able to see something that they, it then becomes like more easily accessible. So I think things like this are really important, so I commend kind of the work that you guys are doing to go against any kind of stereotypes that may or may not exist.
Awesome.
Did you have a response?
Oh, I did, yes. I think also the idea of, like, this might even be a black thing, but anyone who's, like, from a refugee background or from an immigrant background, it's, like, being in nature is not seen as a sign of privilege. It's, like, you're... It is in, like, urban West, so it's, like, poor people live in urban settings, right? So it's associated with being affluent in the West, like being well versed in camping and hiking and all this kind of stuff. Whereas the inverse is true when you come from a poorer country. Being amongst nature means that you're generally poorer, right?
Or you're, and like, working.
You're working. You're working, like, of the working class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas being urban and being, like, you know, quote unquote civilized is being away from nature. So sometimes the implicit idea culturally can be like, I'm got no business out there, I'm cool. That's how I found anyway, but with like people of my parents' generation.
Yeah.
That's a very fair point. Because I actually wouldn't have thought of it like that.
It's like, what are you doing there? Like, we have a house. If you want to walk, we have a car. Do you know what I mean? It's like how being fat is like associated with wealth in some countries.
Yeah.
Whereas here,
that
like
makes sense.
being healthier food, like veggies and stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, it's more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, so what's healthy and what's good is kind of reversed in the Western world.
That's very true.
I don't know, it's just an idea.
No, I think it's a super important point, that kind of change from generation to generation and moving away from certain things to kind of re-establish yourself as a certain kind of class within society.
Mm.
But yeah, for me, definitely, it's really about going back to that because, you experience today. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, also, I was going to say that, I mean, in Australia, we obviously have land that's beautiful, we can go through, and even when we were coming up, we were talking about the track and the fact that the track is laid out for you. So I feel like because we have accessibility to tracks that are already laid out for you, you know, it's a bit more, like, it's not so segregated, like, oh, you know, it's just other people that do it, anyone can do it. I don't know if I'm making sense, but
I guess it's the awareness that it's laid out, right? Like, because if you just say we're going to the Royal National Park, they're just going to think bush.
Or they'll think
the wedding perception is.
Oh, that's all they know. Exactly.
And that's even closed.
But there's definitely different levels, and when you go online to the link that we'll include in the video, there's different grades and the tracks deteriorate or better maintained depending on the grades of track. So you can go off into the bush, which I wouldn't encourage, but there are beautiful, very well maintained tracks like this.
Definitely.
Half an hour away from your doorstep.
And then, as you said, grades, like, there are places in urban areas that have tracks, like I live by a river and there's a whole track that people walk on and cycle on, right? So you don't, and you go into a park, so it doesn't have to be as far out, right? There, like, if you haven't done something like this and you want to start small, there are ways that you can start locally and kind of just build that momentum up to go bigger and go broader.
That we go out like usually like twice a year.
Wow.
Three times a year.
Is that like in Sydney or?
Not so much in Sydney, because there's nowhere that you could kind of go for long enough and hike for like 4 days without seeing the same thing. But we usually drive down to Kosciuszko and hike there, which is really, really, really cool.
And then, like, in terms of sleeping, do you set up tent?
Yeah.
So it's like camping, essentially.
Yeah, camping.
I got some tents, sleeping bags, little stoves to cook our food.
Wow. And you carry all this on your back?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Carry it all on our back. The aim of the game is to like travel as light as possible, but still be comfortable.
So how many kilos would be the average for
like a multi-day hike? Yeah.
I don't know, it's difficult because it depends like where you're going, if there's water and so yeah, I definitely wouldn't advise like just to go out straight on a multi-day hike.
You don't have to do any convincing about that one, but it's more so just
just like I think the last time I went for 4 days my pack was like 14 kilos.
No, that's still quite a lot.
But it
makes sense. It makes sense.
It's like carrying my son for 4 days.
Yeah, the reason I'm thinking it's a lot because I'm like, when I do body pump and I do pre-weights, it's like 10 or something. So like, that's a lot to carry if you're walking for a couple of hours.
Yeah, for a couple of days.
Days.
Your pack gets lighter because you're eating.
Right. Okay.
A lot of the weight is just my food. For the food.
And what kind of food would you bring along a hike?
Chips?
Not Smiths.
Some like dates. Eat a lot of dates, nuts, dried fruit, these freeze-dried meals, rice, miso soup.
Miso soup.
Miso soup is the greatest.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because I get like super dehydrated when I'm hiking. And one of my boys, we were on the top of a mountain on New Year's Eve, and he pulled out this little sachet of miso soup, and it was the greatest thing I'd ever tasted. miso soup is my pro tip.
Yeah.
Interesting. Out of all things, what about Maggi noodles? 2 minute noodles.
Maggi noodles are good.
Yeah.
They're super light. Boil your water. Yeah. Maggie noodles. Yeah.
Canned meats, I'm assuming?
Right? Nah, I don't really.
You don't have
I don't eat meat. And definitely no cans.
Okay. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Canned meat?
What do you mean? Like spam.
And tuna. You're like, you don't know.
What the fuck? You're in the bush, babe. Oh, you're not having Michelin star food.
Oh my goodness.
Would you, okay, because I'm currently dying, right? So, someone who's like fitness level is zero and wants to start. How would you advise them to ease their way into hiking?
Go slow. If you want to go far, go slow. There's no rush. There's no rush. Just go at a pace that you feel comfortable with. Stop. Start. Just you're not in a race with anybody else.
Yeah.
The trail will always win. You're not gonna beat anybody.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go slow and enjoy it. You're not out here to like have a bad time.
Yeah.
Just chill out.
Okay.
Are you enjoying it, Rips?
Be honest. No, I hear you. What do you mean by enjoy? Listen, because some things, it's like the challenge of it is fulfilling. Do you know what I mean? Like, when we stop, I really like it. And. No, but actually, I'm like, wow, because I'm looking like, wow, I've walked all this way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you see the view.
Yeah.
Like, just 2 seconds ago, you're like, the city.
Yeah, exactly. So that's nice. During, like, when I'm actually climbing them steps, it's really spiritually and mentally, and like, it's a mental battle for me. I should have ate before I came.
Yeah.
Essentially. And dehydrated, because I haven't been drinking my water much the last few days in general.
You drank all of mine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like parched. Because I haven't been drinking enough water lately. So you need to like look after yourself overall.
That's true, man. Like you can't just live like some crazy life and then just be like,
I'm gonna go
looking
hiking.
After yourself overall. Like this, it all plays into
how
much you're gonna enjoy it.
Yeah,
and remembering to like literally look up sometimes, I think, because you're always
literally no. But I actually am semi enjoying it.
Oh, that's good.
And the feeling. Like whilst you're going and it's so hard, the feeling that you get after, like, of I did that and I wanted to quit and I wanted to turn back, but I got through it and I achieved something on like a Sunday afternoon, right? You're gonna feel good when it's over.
Yes. Is that where that kind of like mental health aspect comes in? Is it that like you're doing pushing through and then you achieve it, or is it more so just like you're out in nature and you kind of switched off, or
Don't you think it's a combination of the two?
Now that I say it.
Yeah, for me, there's like this whole narrative of pushing through, and I don't really feel that sits with the conversation of mental health, because sometimes it's okay to stop and say, this is too hard. But the benefits for me, like in terms of my own mental health, is just the ability to kind of disconnect from the city and the hustle and bustle, and to just get out here and do this, walk, talk, laugh and reason, and see nature.
Even just driving here, because we're all like from the west, just coming in, just like not seeing houses on top of each other, like just breathing good air, it just makes a massive difference, and just how you feel and everything.
And it's like really meditative, because like you're not thinking, you just want to get through it, so you're not thinking about the email that has to be sent tomorrow, your bills, nothing. You're actually, you're just focused on getting through. And
there's even no reception to even think
you can't even right. You can't if you wanted to, you know what I mean? So it's like really, I feel like our brains always have like multiple tabs open, and that's just not the case when you're like this deep in nature.
Yeah, and just it's so beautiful, like the colors, the flowers, the birds. You in your normal day-to-day, going to the coffee shop, getting on the bus, going to the office, you don't see this.
Yeah.
It's and because this isn't your normal everyday surroundings, I know for me especially, it makes me very aware of where I am. You have to be very present, look where you're walking, be mindful of where you are within this space. So it's very grounding. How have you found it?
I used to do hiking a lot when I was, you know, didn't have kids. So I feel like I'm kind of just getting back in touch with that side.
Yeah.
I think that definitely, like, it hasn't been challenging in terms of, like, I wanted to give up. But obviously, I have found it, like, you know, I'm out of breath and everything like that. So, like, I'm just like, I need to go back to the gym. But apart from that, I've been finding it, like, just nice. Just peaceful. And I feel like I'm just, like, waiting to get to the end, because I'm like, yay, I want to see the waterfall and, you know, see that I've accomplished something.
You're going to still be out of breath, even if you're fit or not.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been going upstairs and, like, it's work. It's cardio work, right?
Yeah.
So
you're
going to sweat. You're going to feel uncomfortable a bit, but...
Yes.
So nothing happened in the UK that you're like, I'm over this, I just need to explore, go somewhere else.
Yeah, it was just that wanting to explore and see what else was out there, really.
Why Australia?
Yeah, like, all the places that you wanted to explore, it's so far, and
most people don't.
Does it got to do with your love for outdoor activities and stuff, and you know that we're that kind of country? Like, not really.
To be honest with you, when I was really, really young, I had a primary school teacher called Mrs. Healy, and her husband worked in film crews, and he would travel all around the world, and wherever he was, he used to write back to us and send
That's
us a picture.
So cute.
That is so cute. Isn't it so interesting how these things shape young minds?
Yeah.
And he came to Australia, and I just remember, I still vividly remember now being a very, very, very young boy and receiving this postcard at school from Andrew and telling us about being in Australia. And
it stuck with you.
It just
You're right about the school, because that's like my art teacher. So every school holiday she used to go to like Europe and go to art museums, and she'd come back with different postcards and stuff and like catalogs and be like, here, and then tell me, you can do this when you finish school. And that's probably where my like inspiration for traveling came from,
because
none of that ever seemed possible, like you just didn't know people in your sphere that did stuff like that. So when she'd show me pictures and be like, you can do this, this is what you need to do, I thought, oh, that's interesting.
And as a young child, I guess it kind of takes us back to the original start of the conversation about representation and seeing things.
For sure.
When you see things, it immediately becomes much more accessible that you can do. So,
That is very interesting.
So you said you thought of going back, but you're still here. So what really made you stay?
I've been here for 10 years, so my adult life is here.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, now being a father and work and etc. So, yeah, I just don't really feel like it's easy to just. When I came here, I just packed my bag and put my laptop in there, and I just got on a flight. It's a lot harder to do that now.
Yeah, your groups are much more deeply set.
Yeah.
What do you think were the most jarring cultural transitions, or the culture shock, or was there any for you coming here?
Just food was a big thing. I missed my grandmother's cooking. I still never found hard old bread in Australia or Sydney. I miss a lot of food from home, man. Just food and being sat up here on this mountain now and being hungry and also thinking about, the food from home is pretty difficult. But
I find that most British people that come here say food. That's interesting.
I'm talking about ackee and saltfish and plantain and saltfish patties and that's. When I talk about food, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for me. Just family, friends. Yeah, that was...
That was a big, a shock, as in not having the connection point?
Yeah, not having the connection point and just being able to be with my friends and being in areas I know and recognise and,
How did you build, family and community here, or was that not a thing for you?
How did I build family and community?
Because obviously coming to Australia, a lot of people don't, especially it depends where you live.
Yeah.
You're not going to be exposed to many Jamaicans or black people as a whole. So have you actively tried to find those elements of home here?
I just came to understand and realise that certain elements of it were not possible.
Yeah.
Also, looking back at our own histories, we're from parents and grandparents that have moved, right?
Yeah.
So there was a point in my life where I was thinking about how hard it was for me. And then I remembered that my grandmother went from a country to another country where she couldn't even speak the same language, you know?
Yeah.
So as hard as it is for me, how hard was it for my grandparents? And I just kind of realized that this is part of the story of our people and our culture to move from place to place in terms of economic betterment or whatever that may be. It's I'm not doing anything that our parents haven't done.
That's actually very true.
Stop feeling sorry for myself. It's true, right?
Yeah, very true. It would be a very jarring transition coming from... But do you feel we can't completely factoring race out of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people... I see a lot of TikToks of, not so much Brits, but, Canadians, Americans coming here and saying they actually find it hard to make friends.
Yeah.
Because Australians are so usually in their bubble of who they grew up with.
Yeah.
But isn't that all places, though?
No, because people... leave their town to go to uni.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
We don't do that here.
With Americans, I think it's a bit different because they're used to moving from state to state. But I feel like with British people, it's like that too. If they didn't go to uni, I've said that before. If you didn't go to uni with them, if you didn't go to high school with them, they're no new friends kind of people. One of my own friends said, if it wasn't for our mutual friend, there's no way we would ever be friends because she doesn't make new friends.
Maybe that's our ancestry base. Australians and Brits.
Yeah.
It's mostly Canadians and Americans that complain about that. They're it's so hard to get someone to make plans with you because you're just a new person in their life. But they're so busy with everyone they went to high school with or went to uni with.
Yeah. I feel that's a lot of places and country town. I don't know. I feel like that's actually the core of people because it's familiarity. Because it's energy to become friends with someone. To start this new relationship at this grown age. It's easier just to go back to the
what
person
you know.
Yeah, the person you grew up with because they know you since back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think it also takes a different kind of person to be able to maintain those new friendships at an older age.
Yeah. Or also the, in terms of like a different kind of person, like I left my friends and family to do something.
Yeah.
So now I can't sit here and cry that they're not here.
Yeah.
I made a conscious decision to book this ticket and to get on the plane to go and do something.
It's like you want a refugee at the end of the day. Exactly.
Yeah. So if it was, I miss them and whatnot.
Of course.
But if it was that much of a driving factor, I could have stayed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you find is like, what have you found to be the best parts of Australia? Like, what do you really appreciate? Like, we do not have this in the UK. We
should have it.
That's definitely true.
Unmatched.
This is a big flex.
Yeah, it is.
And we don't utilize it enough. You know
I went overseas for the first time to a non-Ethiopian country when I was 20. And the way I wanted to kiss the floor when I came back here, the beaches are like, oh, Greece is big. The beach in Greece is not. I'm like, babes.
It's not good.
Gordon Ray, it's all right.
It's not, but I don't know if it's beach. I think it's more the view.
It's just even the water,
like when
everything.
I think to go on holiday, I'm like, why? But I live here.
That's so beautiful.
Where am I going?
If you want to see natural sights, where are you going, really?
Yeah.
But like culturally, like anything that you feel like the differences in people that are really stand out to you? Or are we really very much cousins in that aspect?
What, England and
Australia?
Yeah. No, it's like, it's very different. Very different. I feel like we only really drive on the same side of the road. Everything else is different.
Okay.
Really, how different do you think it is?
So speak your mind.
I feel like you're holding back.
Yeah. I'm not PC about it.
I'm not trying to be PC. I'm just trying to be like, I just feel it's very different.
Do you also think it's because of where you live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has a big.
Yeah.
Big,
you don't mean, I really
like the Australian equivalent of.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
you
yeah.
Come
like
from, yeah.
What I'm talking about is probably different to your experiences.
Yeah.
And also, like as much as you move around Sydney or Australia, there's the changes are. So different.
Sure.
Like even if I go from where I am, in King's Cross over to
the West.
Newtown or Annandale.
Yeah, that's even a difference.
Bondi.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, yeah, it is very very different.
Yeah.
I can only the reason why I don't comment directly on it is because I can only speak from my experience. In terms of my tips, I would say always respect nature. Let people know where you're going. Familiarize yourself with the route and take water, some snacks. Just always like, try to go within your means as well. It's not a race.
So we just finished the hike. How did you go find it?
I really enjoyed it.
It was actually amazing.
It was amazing.
It was lovely. To be outdoors and the weather was really good. Just a few things for next time.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I actually enjoyed it because I felt like I was comfortable. Like my shoes were really comfortable.
Yeah, I understand why you need good shoes.
I'm sure Rebecca can also really understand.
She's the only one with that.
Yeah. Baby girl's shoes got a hole in them.
My feet are killing me. They're gonna fall off when I get home. I'm gonna have two stumps for feet.
Yeah.
But the importance of the right gear was highly emphasized to us today.
Yeah.
By experience.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a learning point for me.
Yeah.
Also, like water, basically.
Yeah,
things.
Hydrate. Yeah, I think that's really key.
Come hydrated, don't just like bring the water, come hydrated.
That's
come nourish, like eat something before you come.
Yeah. Definitely eat something.
Yeah. I'm still gobsmacked you just chose not to eat.
Yeah.
I get sick if I exercise, but it's a different type of exercise.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to throw up or anything.
Yeah.
But then I felt dizzy and like, I need a little sugar hit to keep me going.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Yeah,
again, having the right snacks.
Yeah.
You know what? Those lollies were hitting. I'm not even going to lie.
It did help.
They actually were really good. They just gave you the right amount.
It's funny because everything tasted so good.
Yeah, and I'm on like, what is this?
Because we're hungry.
What's in this?
Oh, my
gosh. So, yeah, bring the right snacks. Bring something that'll, like, give you a little bit of a boost.
Yeah.
And definitely, obviously, your important things like sunscreen, a hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of us didn't bring a hat. Yeah. That was really key because the sun was just beaming on our head. We all had sunglasses on, so I think that was helpful. And of course, some sunscreen.
And dressing appropriately for the weather. Yeah. Because I thought it was cold, so I was like, oh, I'm going to be in this all day. Mm. But once we started, our jackets went on.
They were off very quickly.
So, yeah, that's to bear in mind.
What about mentally? Like, how did you...
Great. It was nice just being present. Out of the city.
Yes.
Yeah. And like remote.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit annoying hearing the cars though, I'm not gonna lie.
You really want to hear nothing.
I don't.
Yeah, you just want to hear the birds. Yeah. It does give When I heard the cars, I was just like,
And the bikes?
Even the planes. Yeah. The planes.
Like, you're ruining my vibe.
Yes.
But yeah, apart from that.
But
great.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
What do we rate it?
Out of 10.
The track?
Yeah, the track.
You know what? I'm actually disappointed that we didn't make it all the way.
We didn't make it to the waterfall.
Yeah, we just... We have to pace ourselves and know where our limits are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we didn't make it all the way to the waterfall, which is a disappointment for me, but...
Mm. I agree. Like, I want to see water at the end of it.
Yeah, because I feel like it's like the treat. Yeah. Like, you've walked all this way and then you've seen water. It's like, oh, this is amazing.
Good vibes.
And very beautiful views.
Very
gorgeous.
Very.
Well, at least our starting point, we could see water. This is nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for tuning in.
Rebecca's ready to go.
Well, what else are you going to say?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you.
And I'll see you next time.
See you next episode.
Bye.